Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrew.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lake.
We are Hebrew.
Hello, my sister.
Hallelujah. Shalom, shalom. Sister Ashley here, another live broadcast coming to you. Hallelujah. I hope that you are very encouraged. I hope that you are striving to be more holy every day. And I hope that Yah has kept you in the faith and in the fold. Welcome to the Straightway Truth Ministry. Tonight, we will talk to Erica Polidor, and Mother Jennifer is with us as well. Bless y'all, feast days coming up. Lots of announcements tonight. Maybe I'll say something that is interesting to you. Maybe you'll want to write it down. So if you enjoy announcements and you want to take it down in your notes, go ahead and grab your ink pad on your phone or your notebook, your pen, your pencil. Bless y'all, sound checks, please, if you hear me. And a big greetings from my audience. Can y'all say shalom?
Shalom!
Hallelujah. I will introduce them all so soon to each of you. Mother Jennifer, thanks for joining me. Let's get a sound check from you.
Shalom and blessings to you, Sister Ashley, and blessings to your live audience.
I can hear you very well. I pray that you can hear me. It's good to be here with you for another episode of Sister to Sister. And I'm just excited to hear what Sister Erica Polydor has to say. And that's all I have.
Hallelujah. So if I call your name, this is what I do to my young children or my students. If I say roll call and I call your name, just give a big, loud shalom to everyone listening. Sister Amanda?
Shalom!
Sister Tiaja?
Shalom!
Sister Erica?
Shalom!
Sister Tirza?
Shalom!
Sister Abigail?
Shalom!
Sister Cheyenne?
Shalom!
Sister Diana?
Shalom!
Sister Nadia?
Shalom!
Sister Sakina? Shalom, she says, and Tammy is coming. Tammy's coming. Special hallelujah to Tammy, who takes care of our Granny Ruth. And Mama Vanessa, I never forgot a request that she made a long time ago. She would want to know more about the Hebrew months. And she said, it'd be nice if you could say them on the show every once in a while. And I'll say it tonight. When the Feast of Trumpets comes, that's September 7th, right? So every year at the Feast of Trumpets, it is the very first day of the month, Ethanim. So you can remember at least that one thing going forward as you build some of your Hebrew knowledge. Anyone who's interested, the month of Ethanim starts on the Feast of Trumpets, the evening and the morning or the day. Remember, so the evening is actually September the 6th evening. Brother Steve, thank you. Sister Wenda, thank you for the calendar. I love them. I hope we will have them this year at the store. We shall see. If you have anything you want me to ever announce, post it. Send me a question or a post or a link or any statement from you guys up north, from my Canada family. Just go and post it in the chat room tonight. Let's give all glory, praise, and honor to the Most High Yah. Mother Jennifer, share your heart.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, first and foremost, I want to acknowledge the Most High Yah for continually keeping me in every single way. From the time I first came into this faith up until now, he has kept his word. His loving commitment is true. His love for me is true. And I'm honored to know who I am. I'm honored to belong to him. And this walk is definitely a learning experience every day. So it's an honor to see how patient the Father is with me. And he's showing me how to be patient as well. I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for his love towards his family, not just the family, his immediate family, but for all of Israel, for all the labor that goes into making sure that the people of Yah are cared for, the people of Yah are taken care of, and that the man of Yah has the support that he needs. It's a blessing to be able to see the example that he puts forward with no murmuring, no grumbling, no complaining. His motivation truly is to love the saints and to love Yah, and to support the vision that Pastor Dow has been given. And finally, I want to acknowledge the shepherd, Pastor Dow, a true Jeremiah 3:15 pastor who has Yah's heart, who speaks Yah's heart, who does not move forward at all in any fear at all. He fears Yahweh, but he fears no man. So it's an honor to be able to sit under a shepherd, a true shepherd, who loves to feed the people with knowledge and understanding, and to know that he is truly directed by the Most High Yah. Even the things that that we deal with during the week, the Father definitely speaks through him, through his videos, through the Sabbath services, whether it's the videos on Patreon or YouTube. You know, it's always something that is definitely speaking to the people of Yah. So I know that he possesses the spirit of Yah, and it is it's just an honor to be able to have a shepherd who loves the people and who looks after the people more than his own self. So blessings to Pastor Dow and blessings to his entire family. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Beautiful. You always say it so well. And you can tell your prayers, Mother Jennifer, are considered and pondered and meditated upon before you speak to the Father by your speech and the wisdom that you give us. Thank you for maturing your conversation for us and making yourself available so often throughout the year, weekly for us. I want to give a acknowledgement to my Creator who hears us when we cry. Reflecting on King David, who says, hear my prayer, let my cry come unto you. Hear my cry and attend unto my prayer. Evening and morning and noon I pray and I cry out loud, and you will hear me. Give ear unto me and don't hold your peace. Hallelujah. Let me not be a stranger to you. And so the Father has allowed me to learn him and learn of him through denying myself, and I glorify him for that process, and he really wants each of us to deny ourselves and put ourselves below everyone in front of us. And depending on how haughty or how vain we have been, it's a long, hard fall. And I glorify him that he's kept me during that fall, and I bless his holy name tonight that we are all gathered again. I reflect on Revelation 14, and I got to read the verse as part of my acknowledgments. It says, I looked, and I saw a lamb on Mount Zion, and with him was 144,000 having their father's name in their forehead. And I just can't imagine visually or audibly what this experience is going to be like. He doesn't allow the human spirit to retain or imagine what it would be like, because eye hasn't seen and ear hasn't heard. But John said, I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and the voice of a great thunder and the voice of harps. Can you imagine the music and the beauty of this playing out as only 144,000 saints, a remnant, made it? And they sung a new song, and they saw new things, and they were redeemed. We were redeemed from the earth, taken away. I acknowledge the Most High for his promises and everything that is to come. I'm a believer that this is very temporary. And I'm a believer that I dwell amongst the people that he has chosen and selected. And I'm a believer of his Holy Spirit moving in us and around us and amongst us. And it says that they which were not defiled with women, they were virgins. They were following the Lamb wherever he went. And they were redeemed from among all men, being the first fruits unto Yah. But it says in their mouth was found no guile. In their mouth was found no guile. And they were without fault before the throne of the Most High Yah. So I thank the Father for his throne and his court system. And I thank the Father for the revelation of his courtroom that was penetrated into my conscience by my shepherd, your shepherd. Can you all agree? You never really imagined the court system of Yah until Pastor brought it out, right? Yeah. And so it's a good reflection as you consider what you do or don't do, right? I'm really, really thankful for that, to learn the legal terminology of my soul, which would be to be justified or to be damned, to be condemned, to be blessed, to have no guile found upon me, or to be blameless. All those courtroom words. I'm so thankful that Pastor has allowed the Father to speak through him to all of us, to keep us in great fear in our behaviors amongst one another. This show being a small part of that, just being able to conversate weekly and spark ideas and thoughts and reflect all of us. And blessed be his holy name for my husband, my master and head, who gives really great advice always, makes himself available to the saints, gives direct, concrete, instructions that are really paramount for my life, really takes his calling serious, He wasn't, you know, he was ordained by the laying on of hands, but called to the authority that he's been given by the Father, and he's definitely a servant of all servants. So I'm thankful. I'm really, really thankful for all the women. I say that because we're all, you know, learning to love and learning to die to ourselves, and we're all being given this really awesome opportunity. What does the song say? We only have one chance to get it right. Right? Stay in the battle. Stay in the fight. Hallelujah. Honor, glory. And I'm thankful for each of you who stay in the fight, who prove year after year, feast after feast, that you love the Messiah. Every one of you who serve one another, who love one another, everyone who has ever came to this ministry, forsaken all, whether you went to another community, whether you forsook all that you had just to move close to a community, I've never acknowledged you enough. I've never said thank you enough, because, you know, it's an us thing. It's not a me thing. It's not a pastor thing. It's an us. We're a body. I'm thankful to every one of you who have ever came here that straightway didn't say thank you to, because we will get excited, greet you, and move on and allow you to join into the body. We might not ever squeeze you and say, wow, you gave up a lot. You walked away from everything you knew, you know, to say that you would love me, to say that you would love Christ, to say that you would love her daughter and her son, whether you have them or not, you know. It's big moves, and it's all the right moves, going the right way. And one day we shall see. Hallelujah. And so I thank the Father for every one of you that every week tune in. I hope that this show is always something that you look forward to. I hope that my flesh and who I am, Mother Jennifer, her flesh, who she is, anybody we interview, I hope that none of that flesh is what you ever, you know, that ever hinders you from hearing. I pray that you know us by the Spirit. And here we are again tonight. I got a ton of announcements, like I said. Grab a pen, paper, notebook, or whatever. Blessings to Brother Kabir. His soul, you know, praise land, you're on my heart. I got so many people on my heart, I could do a My Heart show. And I'm not going to bore you with that. Hallelujah. I don't know, some of you might want to love to hear your name called. Hallelujah. Listen, Mother Jennifer, be a blessing and steady flowing in. And thank you for everyone that's using the correct mailing descriptions on your box, because I know I want to just take just a split minute to explain anything. Like Pastor said, one of our mailing locations is moving, so you'll hear that mailing update. And then we have a P.O. box that is like with the United States Postal Service. And so I hope it never confuses you. Our intentions are always to communicate thoroughly to you on where and how to get stuff here. And I know you want what you pay for sent to the correct place too. So thank you so much. I really I enjoy seeing that Be a Blessing video the way that it was done this year. Did y'all like that? You could see the pictures, and you could see the correct mailing address. So Sister Aya did a good job. And that was easier, I think, than the times past the way we've done it. Our countdown till Shabbat is 2 days. Not even 2 days. 11 days to the Feast of Trumpets, which means it's 11 days until the Hebrew month, Ethanim. 21 days to Atonement. Remember, we wear all white and we afflict our souls together. I'll share, we've shared before, Deacon Bell's house, as soon as the child is three, that's their first year of fasting. And what we do prior to the full day fast is lengthen their periods of time between meals, or spare their snacks, or, you know, start saying no to things, getting them accustomed when they're that young, and it really goes smooth. I have one child that's been whiny, you know, every year that he's fasting, and acts like he don't fast any other time. And that's not the case. Then I have one that's really quiet, content, goes to sleep. Jennifer, does if you don't mind sharing, for Georgia, for Day of Atonement, when you're fasting, is there a requirement maybe from elder for everyone, or is it per home as far as the children go? What's it like?
It's pretty much per home, Sister Ashley. He will never try to overstep boundaries or rule another man's home. But it is the conviction of the parents here that pretty much everyone will fast if it's babies and very, very small children. Then the parents have decided that they will not fast. But, you know, some will fast as young as 2 to 3 years old. So it's really left up to the parent. And it really is a beautiful, peaceful time in the spirit. It's there's a beautiful atmosphere, I guess you could say, during that time of fasting. And the children learn to understand it as they continue to do it year by year. We have some parents who will ease their children into it. They might say you can have fruit this year, and then next year they may not have anything. So it just depends on the parent. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Thank you for saying that. It's good to get both perspectives. And I definitely wanted to throw in the few little emotions that the Bell children might have to get over, because I want you guys to know it's practical. Things are going to happen when you're teaching your child to fast for the first time or every time, you know, through the year, fasting outside of just the Day of Atonement, obviously, is the best way to go, you know, when you can put it into their life. Or telling them no for food and drink is a good thing, you know, no at times. But, yes, like you say, never teaching another man how to rule his home, and hoping that all of you will be blessed. There's great peace and serenity on that day. There really is for the homes here and the whole, you know, the ministry that day. 26 days till the Feast of Sukkot. So that's exciting. So I usually don't want to kill a lot of airtime with a lot of announcements, but I think this week I'm just going to take that time. So move along with me. If anyone asks you about Pastor being out of town this week, it is a private meeting. So we bless him and everyone who's attending with him. I'm glad that he is getting a chance to introduce himself to the brethren. Sister Wenda, live on Skype after the broadcast. I want to keep saying that. Let me know if I'm not saying it correctly, but flashingsteve@live.ca. Post that in the chat. This is me trying to go off of memory last week. How did I do? Hallelujah. So if you, I know one sister tried and couldn't get in, and I don't know if it was from how I did it or how she may have messed up. But either way, you had a sister that was interested that couldn't reach you, and I wouldn't want that to happen tonight. Shalom to Mama Nelly and Sister Summer, Mother Carol, who are very busy this time of year for everything that they do, logistically planning, keeping up with this, that, and the other, just the communication they're involved in. Bless y'all. I wanted to just take a moment to talk about Sabbath meals. Everything I'm saying on the show tonight, you know I'm going to be able to inform you, or someone on the land may be able to inform you when you get here. So I'm just throwing it out here. If nothing changes, okay, so if nothing changes, the Sabbath days will have armbands. There's one in particular that's right in the middle of the feast. Is that the 25th? Let me look. Yep, the 25th. All right, so land opens up on the 19th. First kickoff of the Feast of Sukkot is the 21st. The 25th is a Sabbath day. We have to do armbands that day because we all leave one facility at the same time and we can't all eat at the same time. So we're going to split up only on that day. All the meals, unless something changes, all the meals except for Sabbath are up the hill. And the only people that will eat down the hill Shabbat dinner will be those who travel here weekly, that we call the offlanders, and those who live on the land. They will eat dinner on the 25th down the hill, if nothing changes. Our Shabbat breakfast is down the hill for everybody, okay? But everything else, meals, a snack, everything up the hill. And if Pastor announces midnight air, we're going back down again. So I hope that's not confusing. It's actually going to really, really flow. And if he wherever he says we're going for snack, that's where we're going. Right now we're winging it, saying up the hill every night. If he wants to send us back down for any purpose, we're going. We're marching. So just so y'all know, all this information will be at the information booth when you get here. But you won't have to be in a big rush to get your armbands. We'll open up the information center, pass out some armbands for a couple days. But just know that that color is only for the Sabbath. What else? 23rd is store day. The 23rd is store day. Straightway Marketplace. We have our refrigerator truck downhill now. I said that before. We are very exciting. That changes the feast. It's awaiting maintenance. We'll keep you posted. We definitely still need maintenance. Definitely need that. We have food lined up the walls all the way front to back. We got our receiving team ready, our menu ready, our cook teams are ready. We even got garden harvesting going on during the feast that's going to be allotted. Our water is being filled continually. Our tea is being made continually. Got chore lists for sign up. Don't forget dishes, my sisters, if you have any free time. We got a leftover crew, leftover maintenance crew, handling any food that's left over. We have coffee up the hill this year. Blow the shofar. Not really, Shagina.
Oh.
But for those who love, she's like, oh. Those who, yeah, we're going to try. If it works, nothing changes. We're going to try to set it up right outside the gym on the porch, a little coffee shop from 7 to 9 a.m. That'd be nice. The information center will be up the hill this year. Other than Shabbat breakfast, for everyone who's traveling far, far, far away, other than Shabbat breakfast, everything's up here. Brother Shannon's going to have a smoker. Hallelujah for him traveling with that big old thing and smoking so much chicken for us. Sister Amara, Mama Lily, and myself will do the information center. We got a fish fry this year. We have a fish fry. And because we didn't want to alter breakfast and dinner because of this fish fry, it's going to be in the middle of the day. It's Mama Margaret, Mama Jaja. Mama Lily is going to sit with them, too, or help them out, whatever she can do. I don't know who else Mama Margaret might be inviting, but check out what she's going to do. Mom Margaret is frying the fish and the who knows what else. I don't know your size yet, Mom Margaret. I got to get that information out. You're going to have all this information at the feast. But at the store, you go by, you pre-order on that day. You tell her how many you want, how much you want, and all your money is going right back into the ministry. So she's going to buy it. You're going to buy it from her, and then she's going to give that money right into the one-pot ministry bucket we have. And that's really awesome. So you're going to pre-order at the store, okay? So then you'll buy when she opens up shop 2 days later. Or is it 2 days? Yeah, the 26th. But you'll know all this later. You heard the cutoff information. We now have an overflow list. It's small, but it is real. We have people who are actually on the overflow list. I have not heard how it's going to work, you know, if or when he'll even look over it. Let's see. If you have any illness that you would like to participate in atonement, I would suggest that you lean to the male authority in your area, the head of the assembly. If you're aged or any disability, any disease, anything in your body that doesn't allow long periods of time without eating or drinking, please communicate that and be honest with someone, letting someone know what you're going to do. Remember to tank up on vitamin C. You know we do doTERRA On Guard around here. Vitamin D, Shepherd said. So tank up on anything you can to boost your immune system. When this many people come from so many parts of the world, we are very susceptible to expose one another to anything from our areas. Something that I may not get, I might carry for you. You know, that's how the body works. So do what you got to do for yourself and for others. And we hope that nothing's going to hit us this year. We've had some feasts where it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Children's activities this year, Mother Jennifer, that's another one of those, okay, reefer trucks down the hill, and we got children's activities. This is a whole nother feast for a lot of us moms. I'm trying to look up some information right here. All right. Ages six. Let's see. Six and up. For young girls, you can bring a crochet hook. Ages 11 to 15. Let me know if I messed this up, Granny Diane. Ages 11 to 15, you can bring a crochet hook. It says, what does it say? Size 6.5. If y'all understand that talk. Size 6.5. I'll do a video on our big group. Red Heart or a Caron yarn. For young girls that are ages 11 to 15. So not age 6. Sorry. Ages 11 to 15. Children's activities are going to be 4 days. And maybe Granny said, maybe not 4 days. Maybe it'll be less. But I'm shooting for four, Granny. I'm saying four, Granny. We want four. She says, we might not have four. But, so we're going to Plan B. We got a good location. It's going to be down the hill. Children's activities, y'all willing, are down the hill. All right, so crochet hook. I'll continue to announce that. We got Zaya's Virtue, Carol, B2G. Sarah's going to have some teas. Granny Barb's going to have her corner. Mother's Herbal Instincts, Brother Josh. Are you going to be there with the Mosaine, Mother Jennifer?
I will not this year, Sister Ashley. I'll have it with me, but I won't be there on the official store date.
Hallelujah. Mama Brenda will be there this year. If you have not been to the land before or sold before, you're not permitted your first trip here, your first time here. So please come to see, to view, to praise Yah, to fellowship, to get accustomed with who we are, how we are, your people. Learn your Yah. Don't come to sell your first time here. Judas Closet's coming. If you have men's, women, or children's things, items that you want to share, give away, bring them in great condition, pass them on to the next guy. We will have a seed swap again, and that means you bring a bag of anything you would like to trade out. Any seed you would like to trade out, Sarah's going to have a table with seeds. So what else? Yes, my straight herbs will be there. My bitter waters, my gut balm, my mucus kick, my adrenal kick, it'll be there if any of you are interested. My intestinal cleanse, hallelujah. So they all work. They really do all work. Something I have been doing this for years and years. I really have, and it's not something that, you know, I kind of just wanted to do that. Let people come to me if they need something, you know. But thanks to my husband who said, hey, get on out there. You got a lot of people asking for it. And so I'm there. I'm going to be there. All right. I hope you're learning to nurture. I hope you're learning to worship. I hope you're learning to train your children. Come on up, Sister Erica. Hope you're learning to talk, teach, and correct, and conversate with your children based on their ages. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, surely you don't have many announcements after all of that, right? If you do, we're ready, though.
I don't, Sister Ashley. Just want to let people know to communicate. Call the dining hall if you have questions about anything that was said. Please don't assume. Call the dining hall to get clear information if you didn't understand anything that was announced tonight. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, I will let you introduce Sister Erica, who is now sitting with me. Who is she, to you or to the ministry?
Sister Erica, to us, is a wonderful example of a daughter of Zion. I first met her when she was, I believe Erica was 17, when she first came into the ministry. And she is the Ashaya of Elder Mitchell Polydor. And it has been a wonderful thing to see her grow in the ministry, spiritually under the direction of Pastor Dow and Mama Nelly. It's wonderful to just be able to look at her blossom as a wife and as a mother, and to see her be a lead sister in the ministry as well. So she is just a great asset to the ministry from the time she came in, even up until now, and her continual growth is very exciting to see. And so, Sister Erica Polydor, we're looking forward to hearing from you. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I agree. Sister Erica, you can say hi now or even introduce yourself, whatever you would like to acknowledge. Go ahead.
Yes. I'm Sister Erica Polidor, Elder Mitchell Polidor Zishaya. Elder Mitchell is the elder and leader of the Kentucky community. We started living communally 2015, and Elder and I started living in Kentucky on the land, on the community there, 2018. So we've been living communally with others for going on 7 years this upcoming March, and we've been on the land in Kentucky going on 4 years this upcoming March. I want to acknowledge Yahweh, first and foremost, for everything he's done for me and for Israel. I thank him for who he is. I want to acknowledge my master, Elder Mitchell, for his leadership, his love, his protection, provision, just the man that he is. He's a great example to me and many others. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd and his household, my mom and all my moms, Mother Carol, my mom, Mama Nellie, and all the many mothers and moms in the ministry who have taught me and poured into me.
Hallelujah. Beautiful. Your spirit of meekness has always been something I admire. It really has. I went to Sister Erica today. She's here for the weekend, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Long weekend. How many children do you have?
Three
beautiful children. I said, hey, can you come up to the show? This was this morning. Like, can you come up and say hi? And she's like, yes, she was a nice birthday. Okay, right? And went about like that. And then later on, I'm like, I got no show. I got nothing. What can we do? Let me pick Erica's brain. She's not always here. So I said, I went to Erica, do you have anything that comes to mind? Would you have something you want to share? And do you remember what you said?
Yes, love. Love came to mind.
Love came to her mind immediately. I also have some questions for you from the emails. I have 6 questions if we get to them. And if you need to leave us to go care for your babies or your children, then she'll be leaving. That's just how we do. That's priority. But let's jump off into it. Share your heart, Sister Erica, everything that you've been pondering since I asked you to come chat.
Yes, ma'am. So since living communally, the thing that I've been learning the most, especially as of late, is love. What does it mean to love? What love really is? I know 1 Corinthians 13, when I would read it, it spoke a lot about what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It's not puffed up. And so many other things. And I remember not fully understanding every single one of those characteristics of love. Until recently, especially, I've been understanding it to a greater level, living with others. Like Pastor says, when you live with others, iron sharpens iron. You're really able to see yourself, and I've been able to really see myself in the last couple years having lived with others. And so I just wanted to go a little bit over the different things that I've learned about love. It says, love suffers long. And Pastor Corey, in one of his messages when he was preaching here for Shabbat, he was teaching that we need to endure one another, being patient with one another's weaknesses. And having lived my sisters, and every single one of us have weaknesses. Every single one of us have areas that we're trying to overcome. And so instead of looking at those weaknesses and condemning those weaknesses and getting frustrated with those weaknesses and irritated, I've learned that in love I have to be patient and endure. Love also, it says it endures all, so I've had to learn to endure all of these weaknesses. I've had to learn also, it says love, it hopes for all, and so also having great hope for each of my sisters, not thinking the worst, but thinking the best for each one of them, it bears all, and it's not easily provoked. So if I'm functioning in love, then I'm not going to be frustrated and irritated at these weaknesses. And the word constantly speaks about being humble, being meek, just as Yah forgave us, just as the Messiah forgave us. And I had to really meditate on how much I have failed, how many weaknesses that I have. And it does humble me greatly because I'm like, wow. And when I look at where I was 7 years ago when we started living communally and now, I realize how much I shitted on myself during that time. I realize how many areas that
I was weakened and that Yahweh has patiently endured me through all of it. All my sisters have endured me through all of it. So when I see Yahweh's mercy towards me and his love towards me, it's taught me how much compassion I have to have towards my sisters and their weaknesses, being humble enough to realize how much weaknesses I also have. And, you know, one of the greatest commandments, the two greatest commandments is love Yahweh with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. All the long hang upon these two great commandments. And so love is key. And when you read about love in 1 Corinthians 13, it says love never fails. And I've really seen that if I put love in the forefront of my heart and mind, it never fails. It is what causes relationships to flourish. It what makes community work. It what makes marriage work, you know, raising children work. It's love. It's all about love. It really is. And the word says it. Yahweh says it. Love. That is the greatest commandment. And when it explains what love is, you have to endure. You have to be patient. You can't be easily provoked. And those are the things that I've really been able to learn living communally. You know how, you know, they say, people say, you know, and it's true, you know, there's communication. I mean, there's love and communication. You have to go to one another and communicate. But that's only true if you're going in a spirit of love. You can't just communicate and be revved up and be irritated and frustrated and then go communicate your mind. And I know Ashley has spoken about that in the broadcast as well. One thing I've learned, my mom actually taught me that as well. She said, when you feel like you just have to go and you're all revved up, like, I'm ready, I gotta say this, I gotta say that, and you're all just like pumped up to say something, she said, that's not the time, you gotta calm down first. And so I took heed to that, and when I felt like I just had to say something and I was all revved up, I slowed down and I was like, okay, let me calm down first, let me be more patient, and let me let Yah open up the window and let his spirit lead me. And when I did that, the words really flowed and I could tell it was of his spirit and it was in love and it was in meekness. So I've grown to not fear, because there's no fear in love. And I realized that if I truly love my sisters, I'm not going to be afraid to go to them. And so I have gone to my sisters and I have communicated to them as of late more openly, more direct and more straightforward, but in love. And there's a meekness with it, and I can see the fruit of when I go to somebody in love, whereas before, if I was frustrated or irritated, how it would, the words would not come of the Father, and it would just be terrible. But when I go in love and in meekness, I can really see that they receive it in love and in meekness. They receive it as such, and it just increases our relationship. So love is key. It really is key.
It's so true. I have my own experiences. Hold your thoughts for a moment. I'm going to go to Mother Jennifer. Let's get some feedback from you, Mother Jennifer, or even a question based off of her dialogue.
It is so true. You know, it makes sense as to why the devil wants to continually attack love. You know, why he wants to continually make an attack on your ability to love. So it does. It makes a lot of sense. I hear an echo. Am I the only one that hears that?
I hear it when you speak. I don't know if anyone listening. Let's do a sound check real quick. I hear it when Mother Jennifer speaks. Put J if you hear it for Mother Jennifer. MJ. Yes, J or MJ. It's Mother Jennifer. MJ. Yes, for you. It's for you. Echo for you. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Okay.
All right.
So whatever you got to do to shuffle around. And back to...
I'll go ahead and let you speak. And I'll adjust
okay,
on this end.
Okay, thank you. Back to you. So we're talking love. You live in a roof with other families. You live in one bedroom.
Yes, I do. One thing that I was going to speak on living communally, I'm very grateful for Yahweh's mercy, because I see how he is preparing us for bigger things. I see how he is preparing us for a tribulation-like, you know, experiences.
Yes.
I can see how he is pushing us to be selfless and considerate and humble.
Ooh,
it's beautiful. I'm grateful for that mercy of his. You know, we started in Houston, living community, like I said, in 2015, and we were all living in one room with each family, but our rooms were fairly bigger. You know, it was in the city. It was a nice two-story bed home, and so our rooms were significantly bigger. It was the city, so we had central AC, central heating, so it was very comfortable in that sense, even though we were getting slightly uncomfortable in the sense of living together with other people and living in one room. We were still more comfortable in that sense. And then when we, in 2018, moved to Kentucky, we moved to a trailer together with no central AC, no central heating. You know, the rooms were way smaller, and so I see Yahweh's mercy in moving us from the comfortable to the uncomfortable little by little, because now we're living in one room. Now I have three children, so now it's five of us living in one room, and it's smaller than the one in Houston. And besides that, we have sisters and brothers who live off the land who want to come help so much with the work that they'll stay in tents throughout the week for days and days at a time, for sometimes weeks at a time, staying in tents just to be on the land with the saints and help us with the work. And then on top of that, sometimes the sisters will stay in the bedrooms together while some of the husbands stay in tents together. And so we went from living in the city in one room to living in a trailer in one room to living, some living in tents and some sharing their rooms with other families, you know, other women and children. And so it's like Yahweh has moved us from the comfortable to the uncomfortable little by little. And I really appreciate his mercy and how he's been slowly moving us in order to strengthen us and build us up in these areas. Like, it's really taught us to be humble, to be hospitable, to be selfless, and to be so grateful and appreciative of the things that he has given us, because despite of those minor inconveniences, we are so grateful for having this amazing land to live on, having a creek, having our garden, having one another. We love living together because we get to see each other every day, and now I can't imagine being without my brothers and my sisters and the children. When my husband goes on his many trips, I still have the security of the brethren being there with their guns, a bunch of men who can scare somebody off if they try to come to the land, you know, my sister, so I'm never idle because they're there to, you know, we keep each other company, you know, in the spirit of Yah. And we have the children, so our children are never alone. So I am greatly, we greatly appreciate everything. So, yes, we are also grateful for the growth in all these areas.
Well said. So don't know why it comes to my mind, but somebody's listening. Are you a hippie?
No, I'm not a hippie.
What is a hippie to you? Like, I know if I asked everyone in this audience, we're going to have a different idea, because who the hell knows what a hippie is if you're not one?
I think of that 70s community when women would be, everybody had, like, was free range, had their breasts out nursing, were doing all that dancing. I think some people
maybe
were
earth,
high, right?
Yeah,
love the earth. Want to do whatever they want to do. But here there's structure, and we follow the righteous order of the ministry, of our leadership, of our elders, and of the spirit of Yah who leads us first and foremost.
Hallelujah. You always spoke really well.
Hallelujah.
You always have, and you always had the word in you. When I would drop off my son at 5 a.m., thank you for
Hallelujah.
All that help, my firstborn in the freezing cold winter days, on my laundry days as a newborn, I would travel from up the hill to half a mile location difference, right? It's still dark outside, and it's freezing cold. So I would drop my newborn off with this young woman right here. She was here as a young lady, a young virgin daughter, and now married to one of our elders. So welcome to the body. Thank you for all that you do and add to the body. Thank you to Elder Mitch. I got some questions if you are ready to move on, and I want you to stay on this love topic as long as you have anything else to say.
I just had one more thing that I wanted to say right now was about peace. There was a time that I was losing peace, and I was like, yeah, well, I want peace because in you there should be perfect peace. And then it just was dropped in my spirit, you know, you know, there's no peace to the wicked, but there's perfect peace in those who love Yah, you know.
Yeah.
There's perfect peace of those who stay in him. And so I was, Father, why am I losing peace? And then I had to ask him, like, what wickedness is in me? And start looking at everybody else, because I noticed as sisters sometimes when we're losing peace, it's everybody else's fault around us. And they might be saying or doing something that's not righteous. They might be not functioning in love. But we can't control what other people do. And that's what I've learned in the community. You can't control what another person says or does or feels or thinks or how they function. All you can control is you. So if I'm losing peace, I can't point the finger at anybody else, even if they are doing something that's not right, because I can't let that control me. And Elder, when he was doing that interview with Michael Israel, he said, he does whatever to keep his peace. He can't let somebody rule his day, which really is, you can't let any evil spirit rule your day, because it's just an evil spirit working in that person if they're functioning in a way that's not righteous. And so what I've done is I just focus on me, and I focus on loving. So it goes back to love. I just focus on loving that person, because whatever spirit they may be under, whatever weakness they may be manifesting, I know I have weaknesses too that I've manifested. And so it causes me to be merciful and patient and just to manifest as much love as I can to that person. And like I said, love never fails. And then I have my peace no matter what they may be going through. I have my peace because I'm functioning in that love and that patience and that endurance and that hope for that brother or for that sister. And I keep my peace that way, staying in him, staying in that love that Yahweh commands us to have for one another.
Very good. Sister Sakina, if you could put a plug in for Elder's interview, if you could post that link for anyone listening. I definitely relate to what you're saying, Sister Erica, because it is the same thing that we teach our children. When you have to become, and when you're a mother and you start to mentor and teach your child how to process what someone else has done to them, you do the same thing, right? You teach them you can't control what anyone else does.
Exactly.
You can only do you, right?
Exactly. You can only do what you can only control what, how you act and respond. And one more thing I want to say on that note was, you know, it can sometimes as women, in our flesh and our weakness, we can be like, man, why is she here?
Yeah.
Why is she on this community? Like, oh, why do I have to deal with this? If she was only not here, I would be so much more peace.
Eliminate.
And that's just, again, the wickedness in us that we have to get past, because who are we if Yahweh saw fit to have them there?
Right.
And when I realized that, it brought me to tears because I'm like, Father, forgive me for even letting it cross my mind why is this sister here. If you said she needs to be here, if you put her here, if you placed her here, who am I? You saw something there, you know? You saw something in her, and who am I to magnify her weaknesses when I have weaknesses as well that you have loved me through? And so what I've prayed since then is, Father, just help me to love that sister or any sister. Help me to love them the way you love them. And help me to view them the way you view them. I don't want to view them in my flesh. I want to view them the way you view them. And help me to deal with that sister righteously, especially if, and deal with her wisely, especially if she is acting in certain ways that is not righteous. Help me to deal with her wisely, but still manifest the love that you manifest, that you have for her. And that has truly helped me. Yahweh has truly helped me in that area, and it's brought me great peace working in his love.
It is raining. That is wonderful. That's good. She's like, that's good, right? Yes! We've been praying for rain.
Hallelujah.
Galatians 5:14. Let's go to 5:13. This is exactly what you were just saying. Brethren, ye have been called unto liberty.
Hallelujah.
Only use not liberty for an occasion to be in the flesh,
Hallelujah.
But by love serve one another.
Hallelujah.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word.
Hallelujah.
Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Hallelujah.
If you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one with another. And that's kind of in the vein you were speaking of, and you would just bite and devour, go back and forth, she, and you'd be consumed in that.
Yes, ma'am.
Walk not, it says, this I say, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit. Hallelujah. That's Galatians 5. Thank you. I don't want to take away anything you're saying. Anything else on love? You want to go to the question?
Yeah, I can go. And then if there's anything else that comes.
All right. Erica, what I want you to do is when I read these questions to you, and I have six if we get to all of them, I'm going to read the question to you. And if you would like to hear from me or Mother first, just say Mother Jennifer or Sister Ashley or... You answer first, every time, all the time, if you want to answer, okay? This is for you, but we'll step in if you want to hear us.
Yes,
ready, Mother Jennifer, to hear some questions?
I'm ready, Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. And that sounded really good. Can you give all praises to the Most High Yah, Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High Yah. Thank you so much, Sister Erica, for sharing your wisdom.
Hallelujah. Sounds good. No echo at all. Thank you. All right. Sister Erica, your first question is, how do you deal with a sister that won't submit to authority and is not in her role? What does patience look like with your sister when they don't see themselves, which you just touched on?
I think I covered that, right?
Is there anything else you'd like to add? What does patience look like? What does it look like?
Okay.
Earlier, being revved up, right,
is
the opposite. So what does patience look like?
Yeah, I literally find every occasion to love that sister, and I stop paying attention to her weakness. I stopped paying attention to where she's messing up and, you know, where she may be falling short at, you know. And I just look at how I can love her, you know, and ask Yahweh to deal wisely with her. And so I really let the spirit of Yah lead me in every situation, because there won't be ever a black and white. This is what you do for every situation. It's really letting the spirit lead you in that love.
Very good. And, you know, I want to interject an analogy that maybe this will help y'all so much with your minds. I have this dynamic mentally that I just for tonight's show, I'm going to call it game time and off hours. Okay? Game time is the moment when something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Game time is when you're required to produce. Game time is when everything you've been asking for, praying for, is now in front of you, whether it's the battle, the contention, the sister who is not submitting to authority, who's not getting in a role, who doesn't listen to anything Pastor says, who irritates you, right? Your off time and your off hours, when you're not with that sister, that's when you get the victory, because your thoughts and the things that you think about her in off hours is what's coming out of you at game time.
Yes.
Same thing with your husband. Same thing with any form of communication. It is the off hours that will kill you.
Hallelujah.
That's when you practice. That's when you meditate. That's when you log in the work and the time and the midnight oil. And when it's game time, you produce the thing that you put inside you.
Hallelujah.
And so I hope that works. Yeah, it's perfect, right? It's perfect. Lines up exactly what you're saying. Mother Jennifer, anything to add?
Yes, ma'am. You know, when we had Mother Carol on the broadcast a couple weeks ago, she brought up a really good point about separating the sister, separating the actual person from the spirit that they're operating in, separating the two instead of putting the two together and taking everything personal. And Sister Erica brought up a really good point about being able to be compassionate. You know, you can't be compassionate if you're looking at yourself as if you have never had faults at all. And so when you acknowledge your faults and you acknowledge the fact that you've overcome a lot, that the Father has helped you overcome a lot, then you can have compassion toward another sister, and always making sure that the opportunity and the moment for correcting is right, making sure the way that you're correcting is right, and not allowing the devil to gas you up. Like Sister Erica said, her mother gave her the wisdom on, you know, if you're revved up, that's not the time to go. So really being patient. Because, you know, relationships are, it's so easy to lose trust if you handle a situation the wrong way. It's so very easy to lose trust, and it's difficult to gain it back. So it's good to really take your time and to be wise and use wisdom on how to approach situations. Sister Ashley?
Acts 2 says, and they continue daily with one accord. We're actually three women saying different things, but saying the same thing and saying how we mentally process it or how we overcome it. So they continue daily with one accord, breaking bread from house to house. They ate their meat and gladness with singleness of heart. So you have to have a singleness of heart. And the multitude of them believed. They were of one heart, one soul, Acts 4. Neither said any of them anything they ought of the things which he possessed, which was their own. But they had all things common. So our temptations are common. Our feelings are common. Our the things we have to fight, battle, deny are common. Circumstances are different. Names are different. Personalities are different. But the battle everyone has to face. So seeing ye, 1 Peter 1, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying this truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love of the brethren, love of the brethren, love of the brethren, right? Committed. You see it time and time again. Someone leaves the love of the body, leaves the love of the brethren. And it's always going to be somebody's fault, right? Gabby's the reason for COVID-19. Gabby's the reason there's not a flat earth. Gabby's whatever the list was. But the love of the brethren is the love of all of them. All of them. And like you said, it's a good thing. Why does he have to put her here? For your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to yourself that way, right? Seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. See that you love one another. Hey, listen, if you don't love this type of talk,
stirs you up on the inside,
yes.
makes you mad,
yes.
you know, because the devil fights, like Mother Jennifer said early in the show, the devil's going to fight love. You're going to fight. The person you got to produce love for is where you're going to get that much animosity and hate inside you. Like,
yes.
this is the one I'm not willing to love. Oh, no, 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 no. Ready for the second question, or you want to say anything?
No, I'm ready.
She's ready. I admire your character, Erica. I really do. Can you, question number two, can you speak on healing from trauma from a mother and daughter relationship as the daughter gets older? Can you speak on healing from trauma from a mother and daughter relationship as the daughter gets older? That trauma could be so many things, right? But just what comes to your spirit, whether it's right or not, what comes to your heart first?
As a mother of a small daughter, I can say that I had to learn a lot in the beginning, and I made a lot of mistakes. So I believe there was a lot of trauma there in the initial first year, 2 years, 3 years. And I would see those things manifest, you know, whatever I had put in that was negative. But I thank Yahweh for his mercy, because I did ask Yahweh for just that, for healing and restoration, and he was so faithful. Of course, I had to work on deliverance in me, work on deliverance with her, change my ways, change my mind, change my speech, my actions, and continue to train, of course, continue to train her as the word instructs us with the rod of correction, but also leaning heavily on Yahweh and praying and for his mercy to heal her and restore her. And he is so merciful. I went in with a contrite heart, and he heard me, and I see the fruit of his healing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. I'm going to leave it right there. Mother Jennifer, anything from your end?
You know, it really helps when each individual focuses on themselves, whether it's the mother realizing her faults and focusing on herself, or whether it's the daughter realizing that she may need help and focusing on herself and not pointing fingers, not accusing, and not condemning yourself, or not really wanting the other person to be condemned either. It really takes a lot of maturity to tap into the Most High so that you can both get what you need and be able to move on. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Question number three, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
She's ready. How do you make yourself vulnerable to one another, trusting the sisters around you? How do you do that, Erica?
There's different ways, but one way is in action, serving one another, humbling ourselves to be servants to one another on the community. I thank y'all. We've had many opportunities to serve one another in the natural, in the physical. One example is when our sisters go down for purification. I thank y'all for the many hands. Sisters are very willing to take care of one another when they're down, help take care of the children, you know, help vacuum their room in those first few weeks when they really shouldn't be doing all that. Just that love and servitude, you know, and it builds up that trust and that camaraderie and that morale and that just appreciation for one another. And even when on a regular, if one of the sisters gets sick, you know, the sisters make them tea, you know, make their food, take care of the children, take care of their husbands, getting their food and things like that. So just serving one another has really built up morale, commodity, and therefore that trust, because it's like, okay, she cares about me, she loves me, you know, in the physical, in the natural, you know, doing these things for me. And it just, it causes us to grow an appreciation for one another. So that's one area that I can speak to, though there's more.
The word need comes to my mind because there is no way without this community I would have learned how much I need anyone.
Yes.
Because you somehow, human spirit, women, we isolate ourselves, right, from letting anyone know that we need them.
Yes.
And then we isolate ourselves so that we will be the giver and not the receiver.
Yes.
And years of learning how to receive from me really broke a lot of walls down. And then now really learning how to receive Yah is where I'm at in every facet of his manifestation. But go back to the word need for a second. Mr. Google says it is to require something because it is essential or very important, like help. I need help. You have a need. Yes, you do. You have a need. Yes, you do. Expressing necessity or obligation, circumstances in which something is necessary and it actually is required as a course of action.
like a basic human need for food. I believe we need each other in that same very important way, right?
Yeah, I agree.
You agree. So a thing that is wanted, that's a need too. You can't reject your sister around you. So for me, how do you make yourself vulnerable to one to another, trust in the sisters around you? You humble your mind to say that you need her. Yeah, you do that in your off hours and your off time mentally, and your response was right on. It's perfect. Mother Jennifer?
And I find that the Father puts you in situations where you are going to acknowledge the fact that you need people. So you just have to, like Sister Ashley and Erica said, receive it. You know, he's going to put you in those situations. It's up to you to humble yourself and receive it. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Here's some truths from our listening audience, live audience tonight. True, true, true. So question number four, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Number four on our list of six says, how do you break your will through fasting and gaining mental strength? How do you break your will through fasting and gaining mental strength? For me, constantly asking the Father to help me was very important. Because there's something in this battle, you versus Satan, that wants you to stop asking for your need. And so you believe you can manifest that on your own, like breaking your will or fasting or gaining mental strength. Something in you at some point is going to try to do that on your own. For me, asking Yah with my heart gets answers. Asking Yah with my mind don't. Conversing and conversating in our minds don't move Yah. It's asking, like you said earlier, I went to Yah with a contrite heart. So you want your will broken. It's not going to be your way. It's not going to be your time. But you don't stop asking. I wanted and begged for a fasting life. Now I got it. I'm committed. I could live on this track that I'm on with fasting. Blessed be the name of Yah. He can take desires from you, lust from you, passions from you, addictions from you, all forms of demons, torments, reasonings, intuitions, intellect, personality. He can take that from you. And so prayer is my answer. How do you make yourself, or how do you break your will through fasting? Prayer, prayer, prayer. And then I've always had this part of me that says, even what I haven't asked, he's still done. You know, because he knows the heart. Mm-hmm. He knows the heart. He knows exactly. And you said it best. You said it really good. I can't formulate the way that you put it together in the beginning of the show when you said that you really admire his mercy. Because Yah knows our end. And so he has to push you continually to your limit to break your will, to produce mental strength, to overcome, because he knows what's next, and he knows what's next, and he knows what's next. And sometimes that can seem like a disappointment, but the end goal is you are an overcomer.
Hallelujah.
And to manifest overcoming is a constant dependence on the Father and not just a mental acknowledgement like a Christian that says, oh, I want to be better. Oh, I want to do better. Oh, I want my will broke, right? Because we have all that mental communication going on, but your heart's not producing, you know? So you want to make sure that your heart is kept conversating with the Most High Yah and really being transparent, not being afraid to say what you need to say to our Creator. Hallelujah. We got one shot. Only have one chance to get it right.
Hallelujah.
What do you got? Something else to add? Yeah. No? Mother Jennifer?
And be prepared to give up control. The control that you think you have, be prepared to give that up. Like Sister Ashley said, it's not going to come in the way that you think it should come. It's not going to happen the way that you think it should happen. It's not going to happen at the time you think it should happen. You really just have to follow the Father's leading and give up control. We're so used to controlling everything. And when you're in a position where you're asking him to break your will, you're going to find out how much control you've held on to for so long. and you're going to be put in situations that are just uncomfortable for your flesh. Sister Ashley?
A lot of the decisions that we have to make are actually independent and individual decisions that we make mentally. What I mean by that is we teach and we live complete submission and surrender to our husbands, complete surrender to our Creator, our Father, to the order of Yeshua. But we all have a mind that we have to make 100% of our decisions from. And so your mind can either line up with your husband's mind, line up with Christ's mind, line up with Shepherd's teaching, you know, or have a strong will. I like to say, hey, look at the person around you that produces in that area. And maybe you don't live communally, maybe that doesn't help you, but for those of us who do, you look at the person in the communities, you look, even if it's your husband every time, all the time, you look at that mind and you get it. That's how I got the mind of my husband, by saying, this is how he thinks, I'm going to get there. Uh-huh. This is how he, right? Did you do that?
Yes, ma'am.
Right, we do that. Did you do that, Mother Jennifer, with the elder's mind?
Absolutely. I studied them and learned them. Yes, ma'am.
And so for the woman who might not have that strong head or might not even have a head, you find that even if it's this show that teaches you a little nugget for your mind, even if it's any YouTube video, any preaching, anything, and you get in prayer and you add those and you pile that into your library and you start producing a mind that is opposite of the one that is fighting you, you know, the flesh that's resisting, for the flesh lusts, right? And it wants to drive you, so you're just constantly trying to get that mind, all right? So if you have a mind to want to break your will, line that heart up with it, find somebody who does break their will in a certain area, your husband or whoever, and start producing. Start thinking like someone else to get results. You'll never get victories thinking like you. And I mean a man, Christ, a sister, friend, etc. Somebody can help you think, right?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And if I could just share one thing about
Please.
Breaking will, when you have children, when you see how your stubbornness
yes.
affects them, it really motivates you because of your love for them.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely,
mm-hmm.
beyond a shadow of a doubt. It'll get you submitted quick if you
mm-hmm.
love them.
If you love them.
Back to your love topic.
Hallelujah.
Question number 5, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Good dialogue. Thank you for your time tonight. What does a spiritual conversation look like? This is good.
Yes. Well, first thing that came to mind was if you're being led of the Spirit, which we should always be led of the Spirit, if you have a real good relationship with the Most High and you're staying in Him, meaning you got to be proactive in that relationship, that will manifest in your speech and your conversation with your sisters, with your husband, with people around you. And so as long as you're being led of the Spirit by staying in Him, you can have a lot of those conversations, spiritual conversations. One thing I try to do on the community is always have something playing for the sisters as much as possible, whether it be the Sister to Sisters broadcast on replay or the brothers teaching segments like Elder Rufus and Elder Becker and Deacon Bell and all of them, or whether it be Pastor Shabbat messages or the YouTubes or the Patreons. We try to have something playing all the time, and so it opens up a lot of conversation, a lot of dialogue for us women, and it stays within the Word, and it's really good for our bonding, and it strengthens our relationships. It's just very healthy conversation, and that's an easy way to keep that atmosphere for everyone.
Hallelujah. And another, you know, that's the strength of community life she's coming from. Mother Jennifer, you have that. We can produce that. Those even who travel, if I say community, those who travel weekly, who are
mm-hmm.
constantly getting sharpened,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of people that don't live on the community that are also a part of this body. And Paul said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat. So depending on who you are or how the dynamic of the conversation is, you can't speak over.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just pour. You got to be able to, what is it? Go back to love.
Yes.
You knew it,
compassion.
Right? Compassion mm-hmm. and love. You got to become all things unto all men. That means if you're off in the corner on a Sabbath day sitting with just you and another sister, you have an opportunity to become as her, to gain her, to reach her.
Hallelujah.
That's a spiritual conversation. You know, she's talking the world, and she's talking her job, or she's talking whatever that you don't want to hear. But love endures,
yes.
and love gains,
yes.
and love strengthens. and becomes all things unto all men, that you may capture or even be able to dialogue with that, right? You might think that it's carnal, but Paul said, I couldn't speak unto you spiritual things. Why? Because you're a babe, you know? I fed you with milk, not with meat. So you have to learn your crowd and learn those who labor amongst you. Mother Jennifer?
You know, I always marvel at when I'm listening to Elder Rufus speak to other people, and it could be conversations about basketball. It could be conversations really about anything, but it's always going to be reverted back to biblical wisdom. And the person that he's talking to, the people that he's talking to, they never, you know, they may not even know that it's wisdom from the Bible, because he's not using scripture and verse. You know, he's not using chapter and verse. He's not using terms like that, but he's speaking wisdom that the Word gives. And so I always pay attention to that and try to, when in my conversations, revert things back to the Word. You know, you could be talking about knitting or crocheting, or you know, sometimes people get caught up in talking about their worldly family members, you know, and they could, it could be overwhelming to hear about worldly family members, but it's always good to be able to bring it back to wisdom for that particular person. Sister Ashley?
And it's different, flip side, being carnal, because to be carnally minded is death, and to be spiritually minded is life, everything in balance. If you should be spiritual in your conversation or gaining in your conversation, loving, encouraging, all the gentleness and meekness a woman should embrace, but you're always carnal, that's grievous for anybody. So we're not coaching you to endure that. We are, I guess we're coaching you to love it and endure it, but I'm meaning you can know in your own heart that it's not right. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against the Most High. For it's not subject to the law of the Most High. That mind will not be reached. You're not the one that's going to fish that mind and catch that bait, you know, or catch that bass. It can't be. Those that are in the flesh cannot please the Most High. That's what the Word says, so, or that's what Paul said. So there's two aspects of it, but definitely a good question for reflection in your relationships and your conversation. Spiritual conversation, I don't know, some would say you're self-righteous when you avoid, you know, carnality. I'd rather be self-righteous 100% of the time than ever be carnal. You know what I mean? Not that I'm puffing up pride, but when you're trying to make decisions for your soul's sake to not embark in particular conversations or circumstances or whatever's put in front of you, wouldn't it be safer to opt out? To walk away, to not listen, if you had fear, if you thought it was going a certain way. That's what I mean by considered self-righteous, as you try to gain maturity in conversations, you know. What you got?
I would like to share one more thing. I love how you brought up, you know, basically, in a way, humbling yourself, especially if it's a babe, somebody new. We have plenty of newcomers coming to, when we used to live in Houston, newcomers coming to the assembly. And Elder would entrust them with me at first, you know, to, you know, conversate with them, be hospitable, you know, keep them company and things like that, make them comfortable with, you know, being there, especially if they came, let's say, because their husband brought them, not because they found the truth, but because their husband brought them. And so every time I would see somebody, especially if they were there because their husband brought them, not really because they found the way, I had a lot of compassion and love in my heart for that sister, wanting her soul to be saved and wanting to be a vessel that Yahweh used. So I would ask Yahweh to really lead and guide me in the words and how to approach the sister and how to speak to her in loving her,
to
you know,
her.
To gain her. Yes, to gain her. So it, in whatever way, you know, not, like you said, not speaking above and not trying to act all like I know all this knowledge and just make them feel like shit and not really gain them, just really asking, letting the Father lead and guide on how to approach in love and humility, knowing that it's better to lower yourself, like, you know, I believe Paul spoke about that, you know, become all things to all men and become whatever she needed me to become so that she can be comfortable and this one specific sister, she, I smile every time I think about her because when she came, she was like, I ain't doing no home birth, and I'm not, you know, going to stop going to school, and I'm not going to, you know, stop going to work, man. And I mean, we go, you know, my money allows us to go on vacations and stuff, and she was just going on, and I remember in my heart just wanting her to, you know, like just loving her so much, you know, and wanting Yahweh to just use me as a vessel for her sake, for her soul salvation. And so I let Yahweh lead and guide my words with her, and she ended up being very comfortable with me, and I know it because whenever I left to Kentucky, whenever Elder would come back to Houston, she'd be like, where's Erica? She'd be like, where's Erica? And whenever I would go back, I would see her growth. And this sister, within a few months of listening, she ended up not going to school anymore, college, not going to work anymore, deciding to be a stay-at-home mom, and she's had two home births pretty much solo, successfully.
Hallelujah.
And she's all in it, all in spiritual warfare, and I just rejoice at what Yahweh did with her, and I'm just grateful that she wasn't ran off by religious spirits, you know, and by condemning spirits because she might have worn earrings a couple times when she came the first time around or might have been speaking a certain way about what she don't want to do, but in patience, Yahweh really has caused her to flourish, and I love the sister very much.
Hallelujah, and if she's listening, she's smiling.
Hallelujah.
So a lover of hospitality, you brought the word up. Titus said, a lover of hospitality, be a lover of good men, be sober, just, and holy, and temperate. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. And, you know, that's I had a sister and a friend this week dialogue with me about, you know, forsaking all, moving, getting closer, just a little bit of her journey. And that's what sparked my, I don't think I've ever said thank you on the show, like just even on the show or even face-to-face for everyone who comes out. That's a big move. And it is supposed to be meet with hospitality. It really is. But another, let's bring a balance, because there is hospitality, there is love, and there is the manifested presence of the Most High and His Spirit here. But I don't want any of you to think that it's easy. Mm-hmm. What we have to produce and gain and get to, and the goals that we have set for ourselves to reach and to produce and to be overcomers, if you're going to join this and be a joint heir with us, you are going to have to go through some fire,
yes,
right?
Most definitely.
So that fire can't be forgotten. I know even Yah in His infinite mercy and patience will bring all of us in with that overwhelming joy and that hospitality and that everything is good feeling. And then when the emotions are gone and the honeymoon phase is over and you're in the fire day in, day out,
yes,
and you're growing with the body, that's when your love is tested.
Yes.
All right, so I want all y'all to know that that's a part of this journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you grow with Him, He's going to make you yearn for Him harder and longer, you know, if I can say pull His spirit a farther distance from you. So it keeps
mm-hmm.
you keep you right on the edge of always clinging to Him, longing for Him,
yeah,
you know, where are you kind of thing. But any other words for that?
Just on what you were saying, when you're being tried and tested, you know, Satan's constantly attacking because he don't like us, you know, because we serve Yah. You know, living communally, iron sharpens iron. It's easy to get tired. It's easy to get tired. I know Pastor spoke that when he was speaking about Elder Mitchell, you know, just don't get tired. And I think about the word, don't grow weary in well-doing, because the temptation is there to grow
yes.
weary in well-doing. And what I've been meditating on lately, when things get really difficult,
mm-hmm.
I think about, how much do I really want this? How
mm-hmm.
much do I really want
mm-hmm.
God? Like, it's not going to be easy because I need to prove and show how much I really want Him and how much I really desire to be with Him. And I think about, you know, my master, you know, when he's home and we're able to spend time, I'll stay up till midnight, you know, spending time with Him because I really want to spend time with Him. So I push through the tiredness and I stay up till
mm-hmm.
midnight, 1 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
2 o'clock. So
mm-hmm.
I thought about, well, what about me? And yeah, how much do I really want Him? How much
mm-hmm.
do I really want to spend that time with Him? Will I also spend up till midnight, 1, to wake up in the middle of the night, 2, 3, spend that time with Him? How much do I really crave it?
Yes.
Because it's not going to be easy, you know, and when it's not easy, it gives you that opportunity to prove how much you really want, how much you're willing to push through the difficult times. Even, you know, something small, for example, you know, we don't have good internet on the land, so we have to download things to listen to them. And sometimes that would be an excuse, you know, a while back ago, it's hard to keep up with sister to sister, it's hard to keep up with the videos because, you know, we don't got internet. And I would let that be an excuse, you know? And then I realized, like, no, how much do I want it? I can't let it, I cannot do it just because it's difficult. I got to prove, because it's difficult, I have to prove even the more so how much I want it. And so I've been pushing, no matter how much it takes, to make sure I'm listening to Sister to Sister, to the services again and again, versus just the one time, listening to all the Patreons and YouTube videos. And when I do, I'm so grateful, because the word speaks about wisdom and how it's crying out at the gates. And when I used to read about wisdom, I'm like, what is wisdom? And to me, wisdom is the voice that Yahweh is using of Pastor Dow, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer, the mothers, the elders, and deacons on the Blog Talk Radio. That is the wisdom that I hear Yahweh giving us. And it's out there. We just have to listen to it. And if we don't, we miss out on so many precious nuggets. And so I just wanted to touch on that.
Hallelujah. Your press that you're describing, and your wanting and your yearning that you're talking about, I admire. That's when I say thank you to all the sisters that listen, because I know what it takes, and I know what you're doing, and I know what you're giving, and I know what you're reaching out for. And I know that you have something in front of you that feels unattainable, no matter if it's love, no matter if it's freedom, no matter what that thing is. If you picture Weary as a man sitting right beside of you, would you reach over and shake his hand? You know, think of it like that. Don't, you know, and Hebrews 10 came to mind. Verse 24 says, let us consider, hold on, I'm going to 23. Hebrews 10, 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That's what you're talking about when you're, you know, a pause, Hebrews 10. Pastor said one time, it really burned in me. He was like, can we all just admit that somebody loves Yah more than you?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, man, talk about humbling. Because it's not, I'm not in a race to love more, but I am being provoked by your love, right? So when you're speaking wisdom, you're provoking with your love. I'm going, oh, I got to get there, I got to get there. And this says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Don't reach over and shake Weary's hand. You know, for he is, who's he, Yeshua, is faithful that promised us. There's a lot of promises. There's a lot of promises. It says, verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. So when you can really produce that love, you'll understand your sisters are provoking you to good works, and it's not a contention, challenge, a debate, a me against you, right?
Exactly.
That whole dynamic of love cultivates a provoking, that you are so appreciative of the person that's in front of you because you need her. You need him or them, right? So not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Not going to deny what the group and the body's doing. Somebody's praying. Somebody's fasting. Somebody's loving y'all more than me. All right. I got this. I can do this. Come on, Father. Come on. You in me can do it when I can't.
Hallelujah.
Right? Hallelujah. So anything, Mother Jennifer?
Hallelujah. Very well said. Nothing to add. I think you covered it all.
Hallelujah. All right. Number six is, if you were sexually molested at a young age, will you have that temptation to do the same thing to someone else?
There's transference of spirits. That's real.
Yes. She says that's transference of spirits, so that's real. The potential's there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. The transference of spirits is real, the soul ties. If you have not dealt with those things through deliverance and repentance, there is a possibility that you could be tempted to relive those things. So we have women here who are very wise when it comes to deliverance, very wise when it comes to being set free from past traumas, sexual molestation, things of that manner. It could be something that could be passed down your generational line. So if, you know, maybe it doesn't, it doesn't hit you the same way, but maybe it might hit someone else in your line, some of your offspring. So it's always good to really evaluate yourself to see where you are with that particular trauma that has happened to you. Make sure that you have forgiven. That's the very first thing to do. Make sure that you have forgiven, that you are not harboring a spirit of bitterness against the person that has taken advantage of you, the person that has molested you, even people that knew that it happened. You have to make sure that you have forgiven them and make sure that you have forgiven yourself as well. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I was trying to come behind y'all with a exact agreement, because everything you're saying is true, and then maybe give a like a concrete manifestation of that, or explanation, I should say, of that. And, you know, when you go to the doctor, they say, does anyone in your family have this, 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 or this, right? You fill out this form. Does anyone have heart disease? Does anyone have kidney disease? Does anyone, right? And they ask you this genetic link, right? Because there is the potential for you to have the same DNA and genetic problems, right? So we know that exists, but even in this society and filling out those forms and hearing it and seeing it, it creates a fear. So if mom or dad died from heart failure, what's your fear? You might die from, what is the first thing that's coming, right? And that fear is an open doorway. That fear is as guilty of a sin as committing an act in your flesh. And so that fear of, okay, I was sexually molested at a young age, you're saying, hypothetically, I might do it.
You see the fear?
There's fear in the question. So the answer might be yes, but the fear of it happening is motivating your thinking, right? So you got to cover that fear of it happening. That's where I'd probably stay right there for your repentance, and I would stay right there for your deliverance and your communication to the Father. Your fear of doing it or having it done again to you or having it done again to your family members, Mother Jennifer used the word offspring. So I would say it kind of like this. Does everyone in your family, have they died the same? No. Okay, this one from heart attack, this one from old age, this one from a car accident, this one, right? So we all die the same death. We all lose the breath of life, but we don't all die the same way. So you can't say that everything we do is going to end up the exact same way in our path in front of us. I hope that doesn't confuse. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so if something happened to you, it doesn't mean necessarily anything for someone in front of you, but we cover it by breaking curses. We cover it by the blood. We cover it by repentance. We cover our fears. We renounce everything associated mentally inside of you that you hear, right? Because it's the subtle, what did Pastor say, is the influence. It's that subtle feeling, emotion, or thought inflicted into your mind by the Hashatan that makes you think it would even happen, okay? And then if you think it would, it can, right? And then if you don't cover it by prayer or breaking off of curses, then perhaps it would, right? So sometimes the Holy Spirit will present questions to our spirit for us to renounce and cover by the blood, right? So consider the source of the question, whether it was led by Yah for the coverage of the blood, or whether it was led by the Hashatan introducing fear into your heart.
Hallelujah.
And this sister, she wrote us 6 questions. That was a good question, Sasha. She said, bless you, Sister Ashley, Mother Jennifer, hallelujah. And she knew that I was going to ask you. I reached out to her right before the show. I was like, hey, produce some questions for me. And she emailed them and said, here are the questions that came straight to me.
Hallelujah.
Whenever I called her. I think it was like, what, 3 minutes before the show, Mother Jennifer, and I'm asking for her phone number.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am, 3 minutes before.
3 minutes before the show. I'm like, Father, you got to give us more time, huh? But he knows. He knows. We produce the show out of it. Hey, that's it. I want you to say anything, Erica. I want you to say anything. Go ahead.
I still had a few more things I was going to share. They sort of lumped together. But Elder, I was when I listened to his the interview he did with Michael Israel again, Elder Mitchell, he had said in one of the – in the interview, that everybody on the land is needed. And one thing that we've been doing, which I know Straightway does the same thing, I'm pretty sure all of the communities, is we put everybody where they're strong at. And so right now we're using sisters in their strengths, and each one of them are very needed. Sister Kiara, she's very good at organizing, so she's over the storage building that the brothers just finished and built this past year. Sister Shay, she really enjoys cleaning bathrooms, but she does a great job at it too, and so she's over that. Mama Brenda, she's over the garden, she's over the supper menu and different things. Each sister has her place. But what it teaches each sister on the community is to submit ourselves to one another, so everybody's not just listening to what I'm saying or what another sister is saying. It's we're all learning to submit to one another in those prospective areas. Mm-hmm. So it's teaching us all to be humble with one another and to listen to one another and to respect one another. Nobody's better than the other. We're just working together. I know it's been spoken a lot in the broadcast the last few weeks. It's a team effort. You know, there's no big I's, little U's. We all need each other, and we're learning to submit ourselves to one another in that.
Beautiful. Please continue.
And then Elder Mitchell also had mentioned, you know, when he came this way, he raided Pastor Dowell's library, his building books, just to learn. He would always come when he was able to work side Pastor Dowell to learn how to build, even if he was watching the majority of the time or handing him tools until he was able to lay the block himself. And, of course, you see the fruit of all those years of studying and watching and observing. And now he's, to me, is a very great asset in Israel, in our community, with all that he does. But each sister can also make herself an asset. Like Elder said, each person on the community is needed, but you can make yourself a greater asset by putting in the effort to learn all these things, by going behind somebody who also is very good at this area. Let's say you want to learn gardening and you want to make yourself an asset on your community in the garden, you know, coming to the land, getting with Mama Vicky, getting with Sister Carolina, getting with those who you know, like even Brother Chance, he's very great at gardening. So humbling yourself to learn from others and sacrificing time to sit by this person and work by this person, not just watch them, but even work by them, be a hand, do whatever they need you to do. If you want to learn goats, don't go in there expecting to milk the first day. Expect to be shoveling poop the first day or the first few weeks or months. You know, humble yourself to do whatever you need to do to even be in that environment, to learn anything that you can. Ask questions from those who are expert and experienced, and make yourself an asset so that you can truly be a blessing for Israel because of your love for Yah. If you love Yah, you're going to want to be a blessing to his people, not for your vain glory, but to glorify his name and to benefit his people so that everything around you can be increased for his people. And one thing that I also wanted to share that ties in with that as well is be an asset. Don't be a burden. Don't be a burden worrying about what everybody else is doing. Because I love Teacher Shane's Shabbat message when he spoke about laboring in the mind. Yes. And how you can tire yourself so much by laboring in the mind. Yes. Instead of just focusing on the work and hitting and getting it done, even if you're the only person doing it, yes, you're so worried about what everybody else is doing that you're working very slowly. You're slowing down the work. You can see it in your spirit. Your work ethic is being hindered because of your worry in your mind about where is she, what is she doing, instead of just focusing on what you got to do. Because and to Yah, it's not going to matter what everybody around you is doing when he's dealing with you. It's what are you doing? And so it's that's one thing that I encourage all sisters, whether you're living communally or not, you know, don't worry about what people are doing around you. Just you focus on what you got to do for him, because it's about your relationship with him and what you got to do to please him. Don't compare the work that you got versus the work she got, you know, because if you show yourself faithful in little, you will be entrusted with more, and then you might have more work than others, but it's because you've shown yourself trustworthy, and that's an honorable thing. You know, if you're trusted to be with the chickens, with the garden, with the food, it's because you are trusted, and that is a beautiful thing. It's because you have shown yourself trustworthy, so, you know, don't worry about, oh, she's got less, I got more. No, it's an honor to be entrusted with more, and so don't let laboring in your mind slow you down in the work. And so be an asset, you know, because you will be needed in the kingdom, and we need everybody. It's a team effort.
I don't know if anyone has ever thought about what the Most High needs, right? But if we think about him for a minute and his needs, it's interesting how he needs to send offenses amongst us.
Hallelujah.
He needs to.
Hallelujah.
So it's not like it's going to ever just not exist.
Hallelujah.
Right? Woe unto the world because offense is where it must needs be.
Hallelujah.
Woe to the man by whom the offense comes, the one that's hit by it, touched by it, moved
Hallelujah.
By it. Woe unto you. Let's talk about some more of his needs. It says in Mark When you shall hear of wars, the rumors of wars, which we know the time is really amping up. We don't know what's ahead, but you can just feel it in the spirit of the earth. You can feel it.
Yeah.
Be ye not troubled, for such things need be. All right? So the Father has a need that rumors come, a need that trouble comes, a need that wars come. And we have needs that he meets. If you get out of your mind, like you said, if you get out of all that labor in your mind and you really rest and learn to rest in him, you'll see how he's meeting all your needs.
Hallelujah.
And you need to see his. Paul said, who is weak? So am I.
Hallelujah.
Who is offended and have not yet I burned? Right? The offense will make you burn, boy. When you hate somebody, it'll make you burn. He said, but I glory. Right, a glory in this overcoming trial, this everything about it. We glorify the Most High, and we seek love with all we have. And even when you can't produce it, it's still right in front of you, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing sometimes that irritates the flesh so much.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you can't produce is right in front of you. You can see it, you can talk about it, you can read about it, but man, you ain't producing it. Ah, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just move flesh out of the way. Hallelujah. But We are going to please the Father. Those of us who are righteous, we're gonna produce and we're gonna please him. That's all we
Hallelujah.
Live to do, ain't that right?
Yes.
All
yes.
we wanna hear is well done.
Hallelujah.
That's what I tell them all the time. I just wanna please you. And you can't please everybody.
Nope.
Because, you know, it's in your heart that you or with your heart that you serve the Most High. And you're gonna be misunderstood. Somebody's gonna be offended at you. You're gonna offend. So y'all remember my story years ago when it dropped in my spirit, I will offend many using you to do it. There's a need that he used me to offend. Oh, wow. Talk about humbling when it's not your desire at all and it's the farthest thing from your mind. Talk about humbling when you don't want the show to offend anybody, but it will, you know. Talk about humbling when pastor loves above all, but yet has to offend the most, you know. There's a dynamic to what we have to do for one another. All right, we've had a good dialogue, Mother Jennifer. Go ahead and wrap it up and end the show. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
Sister Erica.
Yes,
thank you. Bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yes, Mother Jennifer, I'm still gonna jump to Erica to conclude. So you just wrap up your thoughts, please.
You know, I just wanted to say that the Most High never comes to you with an accusation about somebody else. He's never come to me with that, with an accusing spirit or revving up an accusing spirit in me. So if you get that, you know, that accusatory feeling in you, you have to really evaluate where is this coming from and are you going to take the bait, you know, because we have an enemy that is trying to get us to go against each other and to not love one another. He's going to fight love. And so I think that's what we really have to remember. And thank you, Sister Erica. This was very edifying for all of us, and we really appreciate your time. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Blessings to you in Georgia, those who gather in the living room. If you still do and listen to the show, thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Hey, counting down. It's going to be Lion's Den, if they have it. It's going to be Shabbat Shalom. It's going to be trumpets right around the corner. We're going to be homeschooling.
Yes.
It's going to be dead season. I'm ready. I pray more in the dead season.
Hallelujah.
I dig in. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
No rest for the weary.
Hallelujah.
Sister Erica, you, please,
yes.
End the show.
One more thing. One thing that Living Community has taught, I believe, all us women, but I believe it can teach anybody, even not living communally, is as a wife, especially if you're a wife, you don't want to desire for your husband to idolize you. And I say that because when we want our husband to focus on us more than on the mission of Yah, we're saying that we want him to put us before Yah. And what matters most is whatever Yah wants that man to do. And so you cannot come before Yah. So that time that he needs to spend with the Most High, that time that he needs to do the work for the Most High and perform the mission, that comes first before us. We don't want him to ever idolize us and put us before that. And so just a food for thought for especially the wives.
Very good. Sister and Granny, Diane, you're in my caller queue. You pressed 1. Did you mean to be? No, you don't know. Okay. You know, I pull you right up, Granny. Thank y'all so much for listening. Sister Malia, it's nice to see her. She's growing, asking questions, hungry for the Father, her husband too. It's nice to see her every week now. Bless y'all, bless y'all. Don't forget, my sister Wenda, if you want to talk to her on Skype tonight, join in, see a friendly face, see a sister from Canada. Flashing Steve, all lowercase, at live.ca. Sister Wenda says, thank you, Sister Erica, for your wise words regarding your experience in community. Yes, we definitely have so many experienced sisters. I hope to always pull them at the right time, you know, to talk to all y'all. I know some of y'all just get a delight out of sitting down, hearing your family talk, you know, after a long work week. We got one more day, one more preparation day tomorrow before the Sabbath. Sister Mara, love you. Thanks for all you do. Sister Marshayla, Alex, bless y'all. Everybody who's helping me behind the scenes. To my growing examples, love y'all. Sister Wenda says, here we are. Hallelujah. Let's hit our favorite song.
Olen hebrealainen Suomesta ja rakastan Straightway heimoani ja siskojani.
Israel. Ani ivriya miIsrael. Ohevet et shevet Straightway veachyotai.
Trinidad. I am a Hebrew from Trinidad and Tobago. I love my Straightway tribe and sisters.
Puerto Rico.
Soy hebrea de Puerto Rico y amo a la tribu de Straightway y también a mis hermanas.
Philippines. Usa ko ka Hebreo gikan sa Cebu, Philippines. Gihigugma na ako ako ang pamilya sa Straightway. Labi na ang mga igsuon na ako nga babae.
Mwe seyon Hebrew. Mwe fet Haiti. Mwe reme Straightway tribe mwe e semyo.
Australia.
I am a Hebrew from Australia, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.
Yeah. 私は日本からのヘブライ人です。私はストレイウェイ族と私の姉妹が大好きです。
Canada? I am a Hebrew from Canada, and I love my straightway tribe and sisters.